Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come just to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word of truth, right or divided. We thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we pray right now, if anyone listening, they just heard those words of salvation, if they put their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they will receive eternal life. We know that the word of God said, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We pray as we study together, rightly divided, that we as saints and those who listen in will be encouraged, that we'll be enlightened and edified in your word. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to get right in to our lesson tonight. First thing, let me say this before we get into our study. Apostle Paul says, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin as a fallen nature in man, enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death, because of sin, pass upon all men, for they all have sinned, Romans 5:12. If we look at Galatians 6:14 in some detail, it touches upon our attitude towards the world. But God forbid that I, said Paul, Paul's, should glory, save except, is what Paul said in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, Galatians 6:14. From the initial words, I want you to see this, of this verse, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Paul's heart. Paul cared nothing for the world's sort of glory that comes from fame, status, positions, riches, or any other present world arrangements, tempting offerings, like so many today have fallen to the world, chasing the pipe dreams. Paul only cared about the glory that flowed from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we explain. Consider how strange Paul's words are here. For people who knew what crucifixion was all about, the words cross and glory just did not seem to go together when you look at this. They were direct ops because there was not a more humiliating, shameful way to be executed, my brothers and sisters, than the cross. It seemed much more logical to glory in our good showing in the flesh instead of the cross. But Paul thinks and writes in accordance with God's heavenly logic, God's thinking and value system that surpasses anything of this earth. So what did Paul mean by the cross? Now, for many, when you say cross, they have no idea what Paul is meaning by the cross. When we tell folks, put your faith in the finished work at Calvary's cross, most folks, they don't know what that means. They thinking about, many will only think of the wood, my brothers and sisters. That's what many would think of, the wood, and to which those blessed hands and feet, and they'll think about the shape of the cross, and they would think of the wood to which those blessed hands and feet were nailed to. For that was nothing but mere material, my brothers and sisters. Let me say that to you. All right? We know how that certain so-called Christians, religious sects of Satan's world, religious system make icons of wood, stone, and bone, which is contrary to the second commandment, Exodus 20:4-6. Do not make graven images. Actually, Paul used the term the cross means the glorious doctrine of justification. When you talk about the cross, we need to know what the cross means. It talks about, my brothers and sisters, the glorious doctrine of justification when we talk about the cross. Let me say that. Free justification of sinners achieved through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, whereby he reconciled believing lost souls to God. Now consider Paul's word, by whom the world has been crucified to me You see that? An eye to the world. That's what Paul says. Galatians 6:14. Galatians 5:24, Paul wrote about having crucified the flesh of the sin nature in man with his corrupt passion and desire. How does that work? Now with the flesh of Christ on the cross, God put the world on the cross. Paul therefore considers himself dead to the world and its values, thus being dead in Christ. The world could not have any influence over Paul, just like it shouldn't have any influence over us, my brothers and sisters. Being dead in Christ, Paul could not respond to any influence of the world. Paul also wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, by his Spirit, liveth in me. Galatians 2:28. And they that are Christ have already crucified the flesh in and by their union with Christ, with the affections and the lust. Galatians 5:24. What of us today now? It is for us to renew our thinking to a new mindset. Be not conformed to this world, my brothers and sisters. We should not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed in our soul and by the renewing of your mind to the truth, that you may prove what is that good and accepting perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. So the world, in a sense, Paul means here, was not the global earth, nor was it a mass of humanity who God himself clearly loves. Instead, it was the community of sinful humanity that is united in rebellion against God. Do you see that, my brothers and sisters? Do you see that? That's what he's saying. So what Paul is saying, Paul means it was here. It was not the global earth, nor was it the mass of humanity who God himself clearly loved. Instead, it was the community of sinful humanity that is united in rebellion against God. Let me say that again, making themselves to be as God. For this was the temptation the serpent offered to Eve and the guard, saying, ye shall be as God, Genesis 4:5. There is nothing more worldly than trying to make a good showing in our flesh. You see that? To be in high regard and to be somebody in and of ourselves, independent of God. If we live for the glory that comes from fame, appearance, riches, status, or from power among men, we are not dead to the world. We are very alive to the world, and the world is very alive and stimulating us. As we continue with our study about the reprobate and the depraved mind, Apostle Paul let us know here in Romans the importance of why the gospel, the grace of God, is needed. Paul says in Romans 1:15-16, so as much as in me, he said, as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is what Paul is saying, my brothers and sisters. He said, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now we're going to get into the depths of what Paul is saying here. Apostle Paul, let us see here in Romans, that when it seems that, but let me get this, make sure I get the whole verse, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, Apostle Paul lets us see here in Romans that when it seems that this could not be any darker, this society sinks yet lower. Romans 1:30 says, backbiters, they are haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to prayer. They are described as being inventors of evil. You see that? This is to say they concoct new forms of wickedness that earlier would have been totally unimaginable. Now, that sounds familiar to those who know the Word of God. Remember Noah days? Wait a minute, preacher. Genesis 6:5-6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Talking about Noah days. and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 6, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, that grieved him at his heart. Verse 5 of Genesis 6 is a purposeful contrast to his statement in Genesis 1:31. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. On the day he created Adam and Eve, he felt more than satisfied with his work. Evaluating it, what he had made as excellent and beautiful. But years and years later, humanity had degenerated from very good to wicked, from unspoiled to rotten to the core. That's what he's stating here. You see here, Genesis 6:5 stands as a glaring depiction of what ultimately results when humanity loses contact with God of creation. In a relative short time, mankind regressed from very good to only evil continually. The contrast between these moral states is stark. Genesis 6:5 shows us just how total their depravity was. First, he writes that God saw that their wickedness, rather than meaning just to see, Saul here possesses the force of such strong words of observe. He surveilled, scrutinized, he examined. God took time to observe and understand what he saw humanity doing. He did not suddenly look down on high and say, oh no, look at how bad things have become. Instead, the image is one of God intently watching and observing mankind's behavior over an extended period, intimately involved with his creation. He oversees the activities of his creatures, and he had observed from the very beginning that human sin. God closely watched their steady deterioration over many centuries. So Genesis 6:5. Does not describe a short-term moral decline. It did not happen only during the last century or two before the flood, but man's moral character steadily corroded from purity to wickedness, from our first parents expulsion from the garden until the flood erased all but 8 human lives. Second, my brothers and sisters, God describes mankind's wickedness as great. We can glean 2 vital details from this description. The first is that the pre-flood humans were not simply naughty, wayward, or ignorant. God means that they were truly evil, corrupt, immoral, depraved, wicked. He is not mincing words. The other detail is that their great wickedness was not static. What do you mean? The implication is that their evil multiplied. What do we see in the world today? They were not committing random acts of violence, nor were great sins happening just here or there. Sounds like today, my friend. He described evils piled upon top of evil, wickedness beyond belief. The word great implies increasing growth. Without straining the meaning, we could put it in terms of exponential growth that took place. Evil was expanding at such a rate there was a steadily diminishing chance of repentance or revival. Third, God used the phrase in the earth, suggesting a worldwide, global, universal condition. You see how bad it was. Human evil was all over and everywhere. The multiplying wickedness was not relegated to just one area of the globe, but it had gripped the whole earth. No area of human habitation was immune to the increasing sin. No geographical region had been spared the destruction sin brings. It was pervasive. We see then why God sent a global flood upon the earth. God's solution to universal sin and wickedness was universal punishment. God is just. If sin saturated only one region, we can expect God to destroy just that one region. However, because human wickedness covered the entire earth, he needed to punish the evildoer by covering the whole planet, the whole earth with water. Fourth, the second clause of Genesis 6:5 saying, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. It explained how egregious, abhorrent, and repugnant the wickedness of humanity was. God focused on their intent. Intent suggests impulse, tendency, inclination, design, plan, or even fashion thing. Intent is the attitude behind human thoughts, words, and actions. God means that in everything these pre-flood humans, before the flood, did, even in fashioning material things, their initial attitude was to do evil. Their wicked attitude sparked thoughts and plans that drove their wicked deeds onward to more evil. This phrase explains that the external violence on the earth was the outworking of internal corruption. They were rotten to the core. And the only thing their rottenness could produce was more rottenness. Their corruption spoiled everything they touched. But God is not done amplifying the description of their evil. He adds, was only evil. We might imagine that somebody still had a bit of good mixed in with evil. Yet the text says man's heart was only evil. No good remained. Oh, that's corrupt. Pre-flood men and women before the flood were altogether evil, exclusively evil, or wholly, completely, entirely evil. It gets even worse with the addition of continually. You see that? Their evil never stopped. It was ceaseless, endless, constant. Each person's heart was only evil all the time. The continue means all the day. From the time they woke up until they returned to bed, the people of Noah's day thought only evil thoughts and followed through on them with evil deeds. The thrust of God's judgment, Genesis 6:5, is that every person, every thought was from the outset altogether evil all the time. This string of universal terms tells of depravity. Sounds more like Apostle Paul's description of perilous times, dangerous times, and this present evil world. We are here right now. This age is evil. Every dispensation of age in man's history has been evil. Every age has discriminated, has demonstrated that the heart of mankind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 and Romans 1:18-32. Sounds like a commentary on our times in the dispensation of grace and in the body of Christ, what we're seeing in society around the world. What we see in Genesis 6 is what comes from a depraved mind. Paul says a reprobate mind, depraved mind is an inventor of evil. Inventor is someone who invents. Sin did not begin with man. It began with Satan, knowing that technology is not inherently evil, but rather man's heart is. Inventor of evil describes a person who is not content with the usual, ordinary ways of sinning, but one who seeks out new vices because he has grown bored and seeks a new thrill in sin. The last days in the church, the body of Christ, and these perilous times has as much to do with the history of Satan and his fallen angels. Why? Because this battle between evil and good began with Satan while he still resided in heaven. The true diagnosis of the human condition stems from Genesis 3. God, the creator of the universe, is all good and only good. And his original creation was all good and only good. The goodness of his creation was a reflection of the goodness of his nature. Now let me give a little philosophical with you right here. God is not the author of evil. Philosophical. Let me get that with you right here. God is not the author of evil. If God created evil, then God would be both good and evil. And if God were both good and evil, there would be no hope for the ultimate triumph of good, which the Bible promises. If God were himself evil, he could not therefore triumph over evil. So good could not triumph. If God were the source of evil, he would have to be evil himself. And if he were evil himself, then there could be no basis for salvation. For God could not save us from evil if evil was in his nature. If your wallet, let me say this as we talk about these inventors of evil. If your wallet or purse, in your wallet or purse, my brothers and sisters, You may have a credit card, a debit card, with an integrated circuit chip embedded in his face. My brother and sister, we're going to get how folks, how they can come up inventors of evil, you see. But we're going to get to that in a minute. I want you to remember what I just said. Listen to this. To disobey God was to initiate evil. Evil is not the presence of something. Evil is the absence of righteousness. You can't create evil because evil doesn't exist as a created entity. It doesn't exist as a created reality. Evil is the absence of perfection. It is the absence of holy. It is the absence of goodness. It is the absence of righteousness. And evil became a reality when creatures chose to disobey. My brothers and sisters, now what I was just saying about that, those debit cards, and these inventors of evil, I'm just getting some, kind of, I'm trying to break it down so you can see what it means. Now, talking about the inventors of evil, have you ever noticed that the smart card is like a mini computer storing thousands of bytes of data? Credit and debit card companies are migrating to this technology instead of older magnetic strip cards. This upgrade is due to the growing problem of credit card fraud and identity theft. The reprobate, depraved mind doesn't rest. It's always finding new ways to continue its evil deeds. Taking from the elderly or cheating the elderly out of all their money. Taking advantage of others. Look at the body of Christ. There are so many who now believe in inclusion. God is okay with you living in sin. God is okay with your homosexual life. Many are teaching and preaching that God is not concerned about how you live because he is a God of love. Satan has a counterfeit system in operation, my brothers and sisters. He has his own assembly with his own ministers and members. Sinful conduct, my brothers and sisters, except it is addressed according to God's grace, will certainly pollute the local assembly. I tell you that 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says of humanism, worldliness, namely philosophy, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As a small amount of yeast taints the whole lump of dough, so a little misbehavior corrupts many. If you read the chapter, you would see it's about a fornicating Christian man who the Corinthians overlooked, and many in the body of Christ. I'm talking about you call folks that the flock is falling in this world. They want to overlook sin, my brothers and sisters. Yes, they want to overlook sin. Now, if you read the chapter 6 about a fornicating man who the Corinthians overlooked, God commanded they excommunicate him until he is reformed, lest he contaminate them all. Evil doctrine, lest corrected, usually rightly divided scriptures, is sure to corrupt the local church. Galatians chapter 5 speak of legalism, works religion, namely law keeping. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? My brothers and sisters, a little leaven, like I said, leaven the whole lump. And you got millions and millions of folks following, folks that say they represent God. And now, guess what? They're overlooking sin, my brothers and sisters. Are we as saints in the body of Christ beginning to resort to the traditions and commandments of men? Are our service just the same old, without saints growing and developing into mature saints? Are we concerned about stunted growth in the body of Christ? Are we thinking we have done God a favor when we go to the assembly? Are we redeeming the time with the gospel of the grace of God? God commanded, when Paul was talking up here, commanded that they separate from those false teachers, lest they continue deceiving them all. Apostle Paul is talking about, as we get in this Romans here, he's talking about this reprobate and depraved mind. The inventors of evil surrounding the love of money. You know what folks will do for the love of money? You look at how many couples marry to get the life insurance policy. They marry and then They kill their husband or the wife or hire someone to do it and promise them part of life insurance money. Coming up with new ways of getting money without having to work. That's that depraved mind. How many times we hear warnings about be careful at the gas pump or the grocery stores or how criminals coming up with new ways to get your credit card information or your personal information? How many scams over the phone to try to get your information? The inventors of evil can be seen in so many of Satan's vices, such as gambling, alcohol, drugs, pornography, and sexual immorality. Satan's goal is to let them think that what they are participating in is harmless, but the ultimate goal is for it is to become your master and take you where you never intended to go and keep you much longer than you ever intended to stay. Do people actually set goals for themselves to live in the gutter? We as saints must be careful in the activities we engage in. Also, Apostle Paul warns, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. In other words, do not be misled to believe that Satan's evil world system cannot contaminate you by word or deed. Christian friends, always be on guard concerning those with whom you associate yourself with. Those not led by the Spirit of God can and will corrupt you. Proverbs 22 provides us with a very simple example of a cross-reference to evil communication corrupt good morals. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. While we are always responsible for making our own choices, others can influence us to participate in their actions. This was the Corinthians' problem in 1 Corinthians 15:33. They had been fooled into thinking their companionship, the company they kept, made no difference. And many Christians believe this even today. Many Christians are hanging out with depraved, those who have got depraved minds, reprobate minds. The company they kept made no difference. Many Christians believe this even today. It's sad. It is sad, so to say. I can hang out around anyone no matter how they act, talk, or act. They would not affect me. No one would mislead me because I know the truth. A reprobate, let me say this, no one would mislead me. They done went high up on the horse now. They can't fall. Paul told you, be careful. Huh? A reprobate of depraved mind and those who decide to walk in the flesh always want more. Let me say that. A glass of wine is not enough. They need to find other ways to magnify their buzz. I need to add a little hard liquor to my drinks. I'm trying to show you what to reprobate the prayer. They want more, always more. It ain't enough. That's how they sink deeper into the depths of depravity. A marijuana joint is not enough. I need to add a little cocaine to this marijuana to take me a little higher. You want to go a little higher. You want more. You see, having just a husband and wife isn't enough. We need to invite the couples in the neighborhood or those we meet while hanging out to come and share our marital bed with us. I met me a godly man or woman, but he or she is not enough. I need me two or three more men or women on the side. Now, so you can now have your sex orgies. They want more. Going into the depths. They even have signs on the highways showing exits for business that promote sexual immorality. They have everything you need to make your life of fornicating and committing adultery much better. The depravity with our dress. No shame as women wear clothing with all their flesh showing. Young girls are growing up and dressing the same way and admiring those who dress that way and desire to be like those dressing like that one day. Men dressing like women with dresses on. To many young men, it signals to them that it's okay to wear dresses. The wickedness we say today shouldn't completely shock the believer. Rather, it should immediately remind us of people's need for Christ and his salvation and our need to be redeemed in the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. Faith in Christ brings new life and can bring transformation to people's lives so they know they live in all godliness and righteousness and truth. Paul calls it this present evil world to press upon us the glory of our deliverance from it by Christ and his cross. Galatians 1 shows us who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Knowledge of this hope is to cause us to react with thanksgiving and praise to our Savior, to whom be glory forever and ever. Galatians 1:5. And that he died for all, that they which should not live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. These God rejecters could be using their minds for noble God glorified purposes. Instead, they have given over to a depraved mind that think up unspeakable evil. The ungodly makes big business out of every kind of impurity. Pornography, prostitution, vulgar media, and every other kind of impurity make up one of the largest industries in our country. And you got so many Christians that what? Then fell right into it. That's why Paul says, and he warns us in 2 Timothy 4, he said a time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. In other words, he said they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. That's what's going to be happening, what you're going to see happening in the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. Some may ask, why do you keep on doing what you're doing? Because some have got caught up in the grips of Satan and all his devices. And we're going to get right back to our lesson next week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for those who are listening. We pray that they will edify, that they will encourage as we studied your word of truth, right divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.